Here we go.
What the hell are you, man?
Genius billionaire playboy philanthropist.
We are the Knight!
Uh-huh.
Nerd!
And who?
Hold on to your butts.
And now for something completely different.
Hello out there, and welcome to the Knights of Nerditude podcast. I am your host tonight, Sean. I'm here on the Skype hotline with...
Double Sam.
I don't know, just John.
Dr. Chris.
Always the Dr. Chris, huh?
Somebody needs to be, and offer wisdom into this little episode we're having.
Yeah. Well,
doctor is in.
You know, my recommendation of staying home.
Disclaimer, Chris is not an actual doctor.
Yes. Thank you for the disclaimer.
Only when I dress like one at Trek
Commission. We're good.
So this is a podcast for all things nerd. You can find all of these on Facebook, Podbean, you know, Stitcher, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, we're here to entertain you during this fun quarantine, as always. So we got some news for everybody. We actually watched the
stuff came out this past week.
We have Thor versus Southern Asia,
all of India.
Yeah, pretty much the Indian police force, I guess. We also have Cars versus the Japanese, I guess, or Tokyo. What is just badly summed up movies?
It's the Japanese versus some white dude.
Oh, okay.
It's all driving straight versus drifting.
All right. And lastly, Chris has been binge watching Game of Thrones, so he wants to give us a couple minutes on that.
We got to hit Chris's complaint corner.
Yeah, okay. So we're going to start with some news. First of all, it has come to our attention this week. Trolls World Tour, which came out only video on demand, has made more money as video on demand in what it's been 2 weeks than the original made in its entire theatrical run.
Wait, I thought Trolls 2... No, so Trolls 2 has only been VOD?
Yes.
Oh, I thought it was out...
Nope.
I thought it was in theaters for a bit.
No, So the whole plan with Trolls World Tour was that they were just going to release it on video on demand. It was going to be the first movie to do that was supposed to be released in theaters. And it made a ton of money, which is surprising.
I don't think it's surprising, given that nothing is on TV that's new, and there's nobody can go to a movie theater, and there's no new movies coming out.
So
no surprise whatsoever. No surprise whatsoever.
And
made a ton of money.
As the only person who's probably seen the first Trolls, which had no right to be as good as it actually was. Not saying it was a great movie, but it should have sucked. But it didn't, so I was very surprised. The fact that the sequel is doing so well is very surprising as well. Kind of wish it wasn't, because once again, these movies have no right to be as successful as they are now. 'Cause it's Trolls. It's just Trolls with crazy hair.
This is the movie franchise that gave us with the, graced us with the Justin Timberlake song, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Can't stop the feeling.
What's the name of that song?
Can't stop the feeling.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that.
All I can think of that was that he had sunshine in his pocket.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Sam. I love you right now.
It's a weird thing to think of, but it's all I can remember from that song.
Such a great reference.
Oh man, yeah. So anyway. So going off of that, because Trolls was released video on demand, that angered the people over there at AMC Cinemas.
What they said was they're going straight. They're not going to do a post. They're not going to do like a release in theaters.
Right.
After all this lockdown is over, they said it's going to be strictly streaming, and then that pissed off AMC theaters.
Well, so AMC basically said fine, we're not going to show any Universal movie ever. At least that's what the CEO of AMC said.
Yes.
That's so not going to last.
He said he's not going to do any Universal Pictures. And you know, I will chalk this up to, like, it's just everybody's throwing out some hot air because everybody's kind of tense at this point. But, you know, it's not something to take lightly either, because Universal is, what, one of the big five, I want to say, big five studios that are still releasing things.
Biggest, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not small. I'm looking at their movie list right now, and it's good that they get the whole Jurassic Park franchises. Yep. They got all the Minions, Despicable Me, Fast and Furious movies. Yep. I mean, the 50 Shades of 75 Degrees of Grey.
Kevin Bacon.
I don't think that's what it's called.
You know, it's close enough. You know, they have Oscar winners here too. They got 1917. Yeah. They got Les Mis. It's, you know, it's not a small studio.
No, it. They
you
have
know, these are money makers.
The Dark Universe.
It's like
they're Universal, like, you might say.
No, but they're money maker. These are money making movies. Oh, yeah. It's not a small studio like Bad Robot. You know,
and they're owned by Comp NBC.
It's like if the supermarket was like, we're not going to have Pepsi.
Yeah.
Correct.
The supermarket, not the restaurant, the supermarket.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. So I don't think you want to take this lightly, because there are statistics that do show that people will stay at home and buy movies. This Trolls movie is a perfect example. Perfect example.
Yeah.
No, I think the true test is if they release quote unquote blockbuster. So the Fast and Furious movie that is coming out, was it Fast 9?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if they did that video on demand and then they pulled in 500 million, 600 million in the US, I think you're singing a different tune. If you're, you know, Wonder Woman 84, you know, you do stuff like that and you hit $1 billion video on demand just through digital, you know, you don't need the theater anymore. You don't. Simply don't.
No.
So right. I don't think this is something you've got to take lightly. I think this is a lot of steam, just everybody's kind of getting off their chest and things like that. This is a poor example, but it does kind of set the, you know, it kind of gives you a little bit of bridge over the river where it's, you could take the studios, could take the next step and maybe do another blockbuster. But it made me a little worried because, you know, this could be true. This could be some very stubborn people. AMC Theaters is the biggest movie theater chain out there. And if they stop showing Universal, that cuts down their movies by a quarter. And then if people don't go to movie theaters, you don't have movie theaters anymore, and my biggest fear is realized. You know, all theaters shut down.
That's your biggest fear?
My favorite thing in the world is going to movie theaters.
Well, think about this.
My favorite thing in the world.
Chris, so AMC is the biggest is it the world or just North America?
The world.
Well, yeah. If it's one, it's probably both.
True. So if AMC is the biggest, where's the closest AMC to us?
Oh, that's true. That's entirely true.
So
but I'm looking at the news today. Regal Cinemas,
right,
is also giving a warning to movie studios to not, you know, forget about moving things to directly to theaters. Yeah. Regal's not small either.
No,
Regal does have a lot. Yeah.
Once again,
there's a lot of AMCs though. Like, I think it's
It's
weird that we got all the showcases.
Yeah, we have all the showcases, and we also have, which is nice, the small mom and pop basically movie theater, which is Cinema World down by us, which I mean is great because they have what, three locations?
I believe they own three.
Yeah, they just opened
one. And one up here.
Yeah, and they just opened a third location, which is great. So, like, I'm okay with these big movie theaters basically inflating their chests and blowing some hot steam and being like, no, I'm not doing this, just because their egos are a little hurt. I mean, they won't not show Universal movies because that's just stupid.
I agree, but you don't know entirely what's going to happen. I
will be perfectly fine with them releasing some movies in theaters and the rest video on demand, or release them both at the same time. Because you know what? Movie theaters, they cost too much. It costs way too much to go see a movie.
Not every theater I want to, not every movie I want to see in a theater.
Exactly.
Agreed, but there are certain things.
Some movies I'm like, negatively.
There are certain things that benefit in a movie theater that you know you want to see in a movie theater. 1917, right. I'm happy I went to see in the theater.
I agree.
Because it's just...
Absolutely.
Certain things you want to see, like Tenet, the new movie Tenet I want to see, I want to see it in theaters.
Another great Christopher Nolan movie, probably.
Inception, I don't want to see ever again.
But I can see that looking awesome in movie theaters.
So what, you know, there are many examples of things you want to see on a big screen. The only problem is that, say you're a big studio like NBC, NBC Universal, but they say we're not distributing to AMC theaters. Okay, well, that's 75% of all theaters that would take our movie. So why are we paying for distribution when we can just stream it? So the problem is, even though you say it's okay if the big boys, if the big theaters kind of back out and not let the theaters take it, but then as a studio perspective, you're spending millions of dollars distributing, and then you just say, why are we wasting any money? It's just a business. Yeah, it's just a business math. It's you're trying to balance it out, you know?
Oh, I know.
If you're a CEO's CFO and you're looking at this, you know, 60% of our budget is not even going to, they're not even going to show it. Why don't we just save the rest of the 40 and just set up servers and let it, you know, stream?
I think I have a hard time trying to figure out if there's any kind of shift. And look, I mean, they've been doing VOD now for very, very small releases for, I don't know, 3-4 years probably.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's any kind of shift to big mainstream movies and big, I mean, just shit that's like very widely released. Not even, you know, I'm not talking Avengers. I'm just talking about the stuff they push out, you know, the stuff that gets commercials on TV kind of thing.
Like Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, just a mainstream kids movie would count. If they start moving some, I don't see how it makes sense. Cause like, all right. So just think about it. The economics probably aren't there that they can show like the biggest 30, 40 movies a year and still make money, right? Because I feel like, yeah, those movies draw, and those movies draw and are a larger part of the overall pie, bigger than ever before. Like, it's, everything's, like, clustered at the top now more than ever, you know, and the releases are, you know, surpassing previous records. But I don't know if it's going to work, man, where, like, you just go see the stuff you want to go see in the theater, at the theater, and everything else, you just watch at home and you pay $20 in one shot. I don't see that surviving. And then the thing is, too, is like, I was thinking, well, maybe the, you know, more independent kind of, not like a Cineworld, but like more, I guess, you see those more in like cities, like there's
Patriot Cinema type thing.
No, that's more like a second run. Like, I mean, like a Coolidge Corner or something like that in Boston. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Gotcha.
Yeah,
like the more art house ones or whatever. But I like those because you can see some like random stuff there that like isn't otherwise available. And it's like there's no fucking way those make it. And those are already like nonprofit, like, you know, like those, because a lot of those movies I only go see in the theater because it's not otherwise like available elsewhere. Like if it was just on my TV, I would pay the $20 and just move on.
Yeah.
So
$20 is two tickets anyway.
Exactly. So if you have three people, it's 110% worth it.
Right. I mean, if you have a family, you're making money.
Yeah.
So I think legitimately it's very scary times. And I think what's going to matter is what does it look like? What does the world look like in November? Like if people are, because I don't think people are going to, you know, come out of their houses and go to the movie theater. You know, like I think they might go to a restaurant or something like that, but they're not, I don't see how you could like have enough people in a movie theater and people be like sufficiently distanced and make any money. Like
it's also tough to convince people who've been stuck in front of their TVs that they need to go to a place with a giant TV.
I can't wait to go back.
I honestly can't either, but
I agree with you. But
you're talking about majority though.
Yeah,
of people.
But we're not normal.
Yeah, no, that's very true.
I definitely believe I'll not be able to go see a movie in 2020 theater.
You know, we've had a lot of big releases pushed back, like 6 months.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, Fast and Furious getting jacked to next summer now, I think that actually...
They were the first movie. They were the first movie to push it back. And we all was like, a year? Yeah. Really? They nailed it.
Yeah.
It was like that or James Bond, I thought.
Yeah. I think James Bond was the first, but
James Bond, I think, was first.
Fast and Furious was like the one where you're like... Because that was coming out in May. That was not an immediate movie getting pushed back. That was like, oh, that's a couple months out. They're pushing that back.
Here. Yeah, but it was
November. It was.
There was no doubt in my mind. Fast and Furious is going to be a bigger movie than.
So I guess a lot of stuff's now been backlogged to the back half of the year, or last couple months, really, the holiday season. What happens if they don't think they're going to make enough money at that point? Do they turn the faucet on? Because you can sit on shit for 6 months. I don't think they're hurting so much that they're going to jeopardize, the release if they can't. They're not going to jeopardize the release if they can just move it back 6 months and be fine. But they probably can't do it again.
No.
So if they don't think they can get the same performance, they probably will. And if that happens, I think the floodgates open.
What do you think? I pose a question to you guys. What do you think is going to be the first movie that, given John's scenario, the studio just says, you know what, screw it, let's just do on-demand, video on-demand. And I'm not talking small movies, I'm talking relatively big. I'm talking the Bonds, the Wonder Womans, the Fast and Furious.
I feel like if there was a Spider-Man movie, that
Black would... Widow. Black Widow, that's not far-fetched.
What's the next big movie scheduled to come out? Do we know?
I don't know. They probably
the earliest one.
I have no idea. Because
I feel like it's going to be one of these that they can't push back. It's going to be kind of like what John's scenario was, where it's just they've picked a date, but they can't push it back again. It's going to be that one. I don't know.
It's going to be New Mutants.
No. Wonder Woman, I think, was pushed back to November.
Yeah.
Right. Tenet's still on for July 17th. That will never be VOD.
No,
Christopher Nolan, which is ironic that we just brought him up as examples, is probably the biggest proponent of still seeing it in theaters. Possibly Mulan.
No, because that's going to do great in the Chinese market.
I can see Mulan being VOD.
No, it's going to... Disney is banking on that doing really well in the Chinese market.
You can sell VOD in China.
It's not the same. You're not going to reach as many people in China.
I don't think they will, given that China's kind of started back up.
They postponed Mulan when China started closing down, and they were
that made sense.
But Mulan isn't the kind of movie that they're trying to sell to the U.S. This is a Disney movie for China.
They're not going to do it when China's starting to open back up.
Right.
They're not going to do that.
Right. They're going to wait. I
think you should be looking more at. U.S. based audience.
Yes.
So Wonder Woman 84.
Did Wonder Woman officially get pushed back? It still says August 14th here.
It was supposed to be sooner than that.
Yeah, it was supposed to. I think it was supposed to be earlier. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's the pushed back date.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the SpongeBob movie. Where does that fall? Is that significant enough?
I don't even know how well the other three have done.
Only in Sean's eyes.
I haven't seen any of the movies.
I don't know. But this whole scenario, I'm not overly worried that theaters are going to shut down, but it does give me pause.
It's one of those situations where the people who have the most to fail are the ones who are basically throwing the fit. It's like they shouldn't.
Yeah, and AMC actually has a history of doing this bullshit too. Remember, 2 or 3 years ago, they said that they were going to just be okay and not. Straight up approved, but pretty much be fine with people using their cell phones, and people just flipped out and they're like, no, sorry, no, we're JK. They're like, don't worry about it. So,
I mean, this has always been true. This has always been coming down the pipe, but this whole thing has accelerated the whole need of this industry really needs to reinvent itself.
Mm-hmm.
The current model just cannot sustain itself in the future.
And did we discuss this? What do movie theaters do? It's got to be
its own thing. It should be I'm going to the movies because I want to go to the movies, not see a movie.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It's got to be more of an experience than what
which,
it is now.
Which, I mean,
what do you do to add? What do you do to add to that?
We already talked about all that.
I know, but I like
intermission.
Honestly, the fact that like Showcase and now Cinema World are adding bars so you can drink while you're at the movies. Yeah, that's huge. Yeah. That's pretty big.
Having the food delivered to you and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know some show. Yeah, the Showcase up in Foxborough does that. Like it's I like that. That is it makes it because then you can go and you're like, hey, let's go grab dinner. But let's go to Showcase, grab dinner there, but we can watch a movie at the same time. It's
you usually get a dinner and a movie. Yeah, you can do it at the same time.
Right. So, like...
that's not the point of a date, but okay.
but, I mean...
I still like my idea of, like, small group showings.
Oh, I agree. I do like that.
That could work, too. I mean, it's got to reinvent itself. Somehow.
It does. I agree.
I think what the Cinema World places have it. They got the restaurant.
Yep.
They got a bowling alley. They got an arcade. They got the movie theater.
Laser tag.
The whole thing.
They got the whole thing. Yeah. It's all part of one.
You can literally go there, have dinner, then go see a movie, and then go back and have some cocktails afterwards. It's really nice.
Do late night cosmic bowling, whatever it is.
It's really nice.
But the only downside is the entryways. They're not truly connected, but they're close. Right. They're like right next to
it. They did recently build a bar in the movie theater. So now you can't.
But that does it. Yeah, but whatever.
Right, but I mean.
Like in the lobby?
Yeah. You know where the arcade used to be in the lobby? That's now a bar. That's a full bar.
When did they do that?
They were working on it, I think, late last year.
Why do I not remember? I go to that movie theater all the time.
I feel like you could walk by it, though, because you're like, you've done it.
I guess I just...
If I remember correctly, Sam always showed up on time for the movie or after the movie's preview started. John, in a very similar fashion, where myself would be 2 hours early.
I show up maybe like 5 minutes before the trailer starts.
I'm usually there like half hour at the latest.
Yeah,
I usually want to leave late, which now I live closer, so I gotta time this a little differently. But yeah, I usually like to leave an hour before. Oh yeah, it's closer.
Yeah, it's closer.
It's much closer.
I'm not like, and this is not no one else is gonna enjoy this besides us. Is it actually is it faster to get there though? I know it is closer.
It is faster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like two turns.
Two rights and a left.
It was two turns though.
Yeah,
it's two rights and a left.
Sorry. I think the thing is the tide is not going against the is going against the movie theaters and like they've got to get their shit together or else it's done. Yeah. Like I don't gonna be able to crawl out.
Throwing hissy fits is not gonna help.
Like, no, but like I don't know whatever you know bullets they have in their gun. Like you know I don't.
No, they don't have any.
They have none.
The AMC debt is not rated high.
No. But that's why throwing a hissy fit's not going to help. Like, they have no leverage. So last thing you want to do is throw a hissy fit.
At some point, you just have to, you know, bluff in a way.
Yeah. All the AMCs I've ever gone to just seem, like, super overpriced.
Mm-hmm.
They're also usually in the
only one New York City is the only AMCs I've gone to. And I've been to 6 or 7 movie theaters in New York City.
How much was the ticket at that AMC?
I think it was probably the same. It was like $12, $14.
Okay, that's not bad.
It's nothing crazy. I've never paid over $18, and that includes IMAX for a movie ticket.
Mm-hmm.
And that was I think IMAX is over $18 now, but I haven't seen one of those movies in six years.
Yeah, it's been a while.
So.
All right. Well, you know, it's not looking great for movie theaters, but thankfully Netflix. Oh shit! Was that the next one?
No. That wasn't the next one.
Okay.
One last piece of news for all those.
It was a good transition, though, John.
It was really good.
Sean, you should have just let him go.
Yeah, I know.
Just let the boy cook.
Well, the last piece of news is Star Wars Day is Monday. May the 4th.
Can we just edit that out?
That transition was worth the payment of a Star Wars Day on Monday.
Well, no. So with Star Wars Day coming on Monday, Disney is releasing all of the Star Wars movies on Disney+, which there is a, I forget what the website is, but there is somebody willing to pay you $1,000 to watch all 9 movies and Rogue One and I believe Solo. Sit down and watch all of them. You have 4 days to complete it. They'll give you $1,000. Would you do it?
That's easy.
The answer right? Is yes.
It's so wait, easy to days? Do. 4 days. You have 4 days wait, to complete
I
that.
I understand where like you have to do it in one day. It's like, okay, that's a challenge.
That's physically impossible because they yeah. added it up. It's 30 hours.
What it is it's also... Wait, what? It's also, in between the movies, you have to probably post on Twitter and Instagram
oh, yeah.
what's going yeah. on and all that stuff.
But they're willing to pay you $1,000 to watch all 9 movies plus the 2 side movies.
You know, what's funny? They probably thought of this gimmick before all this coronavirus.
Right.
Think of they're clever, but now everybody has the time.
It's not far-fetched. I told you 4 or 5 weeks ago, Sam, that there was a car dealership in New York City or New York in Westchester County that was going to pay somebody a car to watch all of the Fast and Furious movies in a row, but they had to sit down nonstop, just no pee break. Pee breaks.
Well, you need a pee break.
You need pee breaks and food breaks, but you had to like tweet and Instagram and post and write stuff between each movie. So it was just ridiculous. It's ridiculous, but it's not. This isn't the first time this has happened.
No, it's either. Not.
No
it's
way.
Throwing it out there for anybody who wants to celebrate Star Wars Day in style, you can make $1,000 doing it.
Star Wars Day in style.
Yeah.
Well,
my daughter's birthday, so I can't really.
Call me when I can make 1,000 credits.
Right. I'm not gonna lie. It's the easiest.
Republican Sam. Republican credits don't matter out here.
It's the easiest birthday to remember.
Only
Star
money.
Wars Day. Isn't your two? Your two.
John and I, our birthday is the day before, May 3rd.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for doxing me, bro.
Woo! Go us. Yeah. So it's going to be weird celebrating our birthdays during the quarantine.
Who sends the text first?
Ooh, I don't know. Yeah.
Who sends it? Oh
yeah, we always send a text on our birthday. So,
guys, you're super cheesy.
How weird is it that half of us share a birthday?
Wishing somebody a happy birthday by text is cheesy.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Let us know when you know somebody with the same birthday as you.
Well, it's just like, I mean, what else is he gonna say when I wish him a happy birthday? Like, he's gonna be the asshole and not wish me one, man.
Oh, boy.
Anyways. So, yes. Now, moving on to John's failed attempt at a, because of Star Wars, segue. yeah. So, yes. So, Netflix released a film starring, was it Chris Hemsworth, produced by the Russo brothers. It's called Extraction, or as I like to call it, Escort Mission, the movie. For all those people who play video games, you'd understand. It's just about a black market mercenary for hire guy who has to help unkidnap a drug lord's son.
Very generic.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Like, the plot to this movie is nothing spectacular. It's something that's been seen before.
Okay, let's set this up. So this is Thor.
Yep.
Number one.
Yes.
And he has had some movies that have been outside of the Marvel Cinematic Universe that have been, you know, decent, maybe bad.
Like Men in Black.
There are some, like, maybe gems in there. So it's a very...
what would the gems be?
He brings up a good point.
Yeah.
I'm honestly trying to think about this. I'm like,
see,
I'm just trying to be
Chris Hemsworth's best movies.
It's like a little bit gracious towards him.
Yeah, he doesn't not do good movies because it's literally like his best movies are like Thor Ragnarok, Avengers, Endgame, and Infinity War.
Have you seen the 4-hour cut of Black Hat though?
No.
So he's not. He hasn't been like some of his. So I thought he was funny in Ghostbusters, regardless of you know, the rest of the movie.
He's a good comedic actor.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and then he has done, you know, he's done some decent stuff. So I thought he was pretty good in 12 Strong. The movie itself, you know, okay. But I thought he was good in that. In The Heart of the Sea, the movie is such a bland story.
Unfortunately. They did not do the actual story justice. I mean, it's literally the true story behind Moby Dick. Like, how do you fail at that?
Look, it doesn't matter.
He's got cannibalism in it.
He did a good job with it. You know, I'm not going to fault him for that. No. So, you know, he has been branching out. He has been branching out. So it's Chris Hemsworth and it's the Russos. Or specifically, I think it's Joe Russo.
It was both of them.
So they're, huh?
They both produced it.
Is it? Yeah, but one wrote it. So I think Joe Russo is the one who wrote it. So this is your Captain America Winter Soldier writers and directors, as well as Infinity War and Endgame. These are like the guys, the Marvel guys. So you look at the pieces and you're like, let's see what they come up with. And I hate to say it, but it's a wicked generic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
It's based off of a graphic novel, I want to say, See You, Dodd.
By the way, both of them wrote it. Both of them did write it?
Okay,
Joe wrote the screenplay, but Anthony Russo helped create it. But it's based on the graphic novel... Oh, God.
See You, Dodd.
See You, Dodd, yeah.
Yeah, See You, Dodd.
By Andre Parks.
Also, Russo Brothers... announced today, producing a live-action version of Hercules, the Disney cartoon.
Really?
What do you think of that one?
It all depends.
Unnecessary.
I know. I mean, what is it?
Unnecessary. Yeah, Disney's in a live-action mode right now. So.
Yeah.
But this movie, they had the pieces together. Let's try it. It's Netflix. They can go hardcore, all out, whatever they want. And... I don't want to say it failed to deliver because I wasn't really expecting anything different than what we got
at all. It was an exciting movie.
Yeah, it was. And you had your standard Netflix long shots.
Which were great.
Yeah, they were fun to watch. But, you know, now I'm starting to get kind of tired with how long some of these really are.
Yeah, but also, it's not about like how long it is, it's how complex it is. And that's kind of like what made this movie so great of like an action movie is those long shots with the kid like being basically thrown around like a rag doll, like told to duck and move and stuff, and like the action playing out around them. It was actually pretty well done. Like it was really, really interesting.
And it makes it's 10 times better. Any movie where the actor or actress does their own stuff in those one shots, like and it actually looks legit, it adds to everything about the movie. And Chris Hemsworth is one of those actors. He was in everything. He does it all on his own, and you could tell it's more fluid because he's doing it instead of, you know, some. I don't want to say the guy who played Daredevil did.
Oh, Charlie
did
Cox.
All of it on his own. I think his stuntman did a lot of that stuff.
No, I'm pretty sure it was him.
Really? Because I know he did a lot, but I don't think he did some of those things.
Those one shots were him.
That's from the fact. I'm trying to hit home the point that he put in a lot of work to this movie. You could tell throughout this whole movie, Chris Hemsworth was really dedicated to this role.
Yeah.
And he did really well in it. I don't want to say he did bad in it. It's just the whole movie falls into the category of this is a hardcore action movie.
Mm-hmm.
Really all it was. There's nothing really complex about it. Nope. It was turn your brain off and watch and be fun.
Oh, yeah.
And have fun.
Without a doubt. Yeah. It was turn your brain off action.
Counterpoint, though. Was he?
What?
I feel, I mean, like, it's an intense movie, so it's hard to say the guy was phoning it in. But I don't know. Like, I mean, was it? I didn't get that impression. I'll just say that. And I've got to plead ignorance here. I only watched like 45 minutes of this movie, but I feel like I got the gist of it. Did they? I know. Okay. One thing, they're talking about this long, like 12-minute one cutscene. a lot of the movie is shot in a way, not like 1917, like it's like supposed to be one long take, but just that there's like fluid, like there's no, like you can't really tell what the cuts are, except, you know, you sort of can, and it's not, you know.
Yeah, when shit hits the fan in this movie, most of the action sequences are long shots. So
but there is one specific one that does kind of look like an actual single take one. It's not.
A lot that were long shots like that. Okay. And like I've heard that there's like one that was like really long. I can't tell you which one it was.
Oh, so it wasn't. So it definitely wasn't memorable to you.
No.
Because to me, it's like, you know, unfortunately, none of you guys watched it, but like True Detective did this like incredible one. And it's like, you don't really realize it until like 3 minutes in or whatever, but like it's great because of it, the contrast. Whereas it just seemed like they were doing the thing where making it seem like it's all one, but it's like very clearly not. Like, just there's no way they filmed it that way.
Yeah.
And I think it's just like that trick's been done. Like, I think even the 1917 thing doesn't age super well. Like, it's cool to see the first time, but I don't know how well it actually like stands up. I mean, I've watched it again on you know, since it's been out on video on demand or whatever, but I guess my larger point here is I hope we're just like not gonna have 10 years of this. Like, it's cool and it works sometimes, but to like over rely on it, which I think these guys definitely did, and they were definitely like trying to seem cool, and frankly, you know, this movie was probably shot well before anybody had seen 1970. I don't think people had seen it until November anyway. And I think the one shot thing probably wasn't even publicized till the fall. So I'm sure all the movie was.
Yeah, but like people in the industry, news goes around where somebody's shopping a script where they want to do it as a one shot, or like somebody's working on something as a one shot. Like, the news gets around Hollywood, and that's why like Asylum Pictures is able to be like, oh, what you're doing, you know, a Hercules movie? Well, so are we. Like,
well, I think they just read the press release like 3 years before it comes out, and they're like, oh, let's just make this or whatever. It doesn't have to actually have to do with anything. The Asylum ones are the like, what's the really dumb ones, Sean? Like, the ones
was it Avengers Grimm, which are the Avengers? But it's all fairy tale creature characters.
These literally no one asked for.
Yeah, no, they're horrible movies. Although they are responsible for, I can't even remember that zombie show on Sci-Fi Channel.
Z-Nation?
And Black Summer, which was on Netflix. They're responsible for both of those, which is, I mean, I feel like those were well done, though with low budget. They're also responsible for the Sharknado movies, if you were wondering. Yeah.
The nades.
Yeah. But yeah.
Tara Reid's been in the news lately, Sean.
What has?
Tara Reid.
Oh, has Sharknado? From Sharknado fame?
Well, I don't know. I just keep hearing Tara Reid. Is that who they're talking about?
I don't know. Anyways, back to Extraction.
Anyway. So, what was I going to say? Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, look, these Netflix movies, like, they're fine. Mm-hmm. Like, and it's the expectations game is, like, perfectly there. Like, it's nothing more than what you wanted or, like, really less. Like, it's just, like, I don't know. It's just not. I like the movies that are like really dumb and like if you're gonna go, you know, if you're gonna be a bird, be an eagle, like we'll get to Tokyo Drift in a little bit, but like that's I guess more that's my favor of big dumb action movie. Yeah,
I with this movie, it was a very generic script. I did not connect with any of the characters at all.
No connection.
No, like there's no real like background information on any of the characters, not even Chris Hemsworth's character, until like most of the way through. And then the David Harbour stuff, was so pointless.
What
is he? Because I saw him on the IMDb, but right. I didn't get that.
So
he's like a fellow assassin.
Yeah, he owes Chris Hemsworth his life, kind of thing, and so he saves him from literally the sewers.
Have you seen what the hell is that? Owen Wilson movie where he's in like the hotel and it gets overrun by
Oh yeah, that movie.
It's a Pierce Brosnan. Is it Pierce Brosnan?
No.
I have no idea.
Who's in it? They randomly run into somebody.
Yeah.
Hold on. I gotta look it up. I gotta look it up because it's like the perfect example of what the hell is going on.
Basically, he shows up at some point, has like 10 minutes in the movie, and then is killed.
Are we making David Harbour into an action star now? Because like that dude is like the perfect guy in a suit. And like when I say guy in a suit, I mean like, not literally has to be in a suit, but like, you know what I mean? Like who he is in like James Bond or like,
okay. Yeah.
Like the newsroom.
It's No Escape. The movie is No Escape.
That's it. Yeah.
Owen Wilson. And it is Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, it is.
They escape the hotel and then midway through they run into Pierce Brosnan, who's a US or he's like a US British kind of spy that's embedded in the city and stuff. You know, that generic person.
Right.
And then he helps them escape. Spoiler, he gets killed.
Wow.
You know.
It's David Harbour.
It's entirely that same.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Insert random star here.
Like, David Harbour, I mean, whether you like him or hate him, his character was pointless and a waste of time. There was no reason for it at all. And it kind of continued the plot of, why is the guy who works for the kid's father trying to kill Chris Hemsworth?
Oh, I knew why the second they explained it.
Like, so the kid's father said, "Get my son back or I'm going to kill your family."
Yeah, he hired those marks to do the heavy lifting for
him. So Chris Hemsworth has the kid, is running from the people, the cops who are shooting at him. And so this guy's like, well, then I need to kill him. And because why not? And then the whole David Harbour thing happens. And they're like, hey, by the way, we're on the same team. All right, cool. Let's team up.
The other mercenary, the like father's friend.
Yeah.
Entirely understood why he tried to kill Chris Hemsworth. There was no doubt whatsoever.
Oh, I was not that I was confused why he wanted to kill him. It's just like, I don't know. It felt like stupid motivation in a way, explained motivation. Like, I know that it was like, oh, you want to save your family because this guy's gonna kill him, but like,
no.
All of a sudden, he was like unkillable badass for a while. Like, literally gets hit by a full speeding truck and gets up afterwards with a broken nose.
Both of them do.
No. Chris Hemsworth was hit by a car. The other guy was literally hit by a truck.
Oh my God.
And only broke his nose.
It's just a miracle of movies.
I don't know. Like,
can we get to something that I really hate?
All right. What do you
know? I'm really hating this in every movie that I see now.
Okay.
At the beginning of the movie, they showed the end scene.
Mm hmm.
And it said like 24 hours or 48 hours earlier.
Or 2 days early or something like that.
I hate that now. I cannot stand that.
Do you notice too how that's like in every single TV pilot now?
Yeah.
Like every single like first episode of a TV series is that.
Yep. I haven't seen pilots in a long time for TV. I'm sorry. Nothing's coming out, so I can't really watch anything. I know.
Well, it's the first episode.
Super recently, but like, yeah.
There's some like new ABC show that I want to watch. It's so cheesy.
Of course it is.
It's wicked cheesy. Some like baker's son who falls in love with a socialite. I don't know. It's wicked weird, but.
But you want to watch it?
I want to watch it. I don't know why. Wait, is that guilty pleasure? It's like the baker and the yeah. It's like the baker.
It's like the baker and the daughter or something like that.
ABC. It's on ABC.
I'm happy to say the only TV I watch or lately have been watching has been HGTV. Yeah, watching a lot of Property Brothers.
You just moved into a house.
I know, but I've been watching a lot of Property Brothers.
Speaking of TV, can we go into the binging right now?
All right. Well, we all have to give our ratings for Extraction.
Can I tell you one other thing that was great about this movie?
Yeah, go ahead.
When the guy threw the kid off the roof?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Did anybody, like, you thought, okay, for sure, like, he's not going to throw him off the roof.
Right.
Like, and then, I mean, it's like, come on, they're not going to do that. And it's like, it just happens so fast. like some, like, generic. I mean, and that was a lean forward moment for me. There weren't.
Yeah, no, that was, like, out of, like, because, like, another thing, the villain of the movie is just so underexplained. It's just like, oh, he's a, you know, he's just a drug lord. It's like, oh, all right. So
did you really need another explanation?
It does make a movie stand out when you actually flush out some of the characters.
I don't think so at all. Random drug lord. Once they hashed out, you knew exactly what type of movie it was.
Yeah, but he does nothing the whole movie.
It doesn't matter.
He was a pointless villain.
You could cut out his scenes. It still wouldn't matter.
Like, there's so much you could have cut out.
I had kind of spaced and like forgot that like I'm watching a movie in a foreign language and like just didn't read the subtitles and stuff. Was the bad guy the guy who threw the kid off the roof or the guy in the suit?
Guy in the suit.
Okay, that's the real bad guy.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the other guy was a thug.
Yes.
Man.
Sim, did you watch this movie?
Nope.
Why not?
I've been out of it the last couple days.
Because we're now 4 months into the year, and Sam is yet to watch a movie.
Wow. Well, let's
keep this going.
That's a lot.
To be fair.
I'm going to watch this year. It's Fast and Furious movie.
Sam, do you want to start watching The Baker and the Beauty with me?
God, no.
All right. Any final thoughts on Extraction? None?
Not really.
All right. John, what do you give this as a rating?
It doesn't change my opinion about anybody. If anything, it diminishes my opinion for the Russos a little bit, but it's still early for them.
Yeah,
it's not. You know how many shit? You know how much like crap Steven Spielberg produces? Like,
oh God, yeah.
These guys wrote. These guys adapted and they didn't direct, but no.
Honestly, Shia LaBeouf might have appeared in more movies that Steven Spielberg has produced than not.
That's probably true.
Transformers, Indy 4, like, it's a lot.
Eagle Eye.
Yeah.
He's done a lot, but I
will not rest until we all remember.
Nobody.
Eagle Eye, the con classic for February 2042.
Yeah, but Shia LaBeouf pales in comparison to the Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg brotherhood that, you know, has existed for 25 years.
Well, yeah. All
Those right. two have been going at it for decades.
All right, so are we ready for reviews? Yeah, well, since... Well,
94 was Saving Private Ryan.
It wasn't 94.
It was
98. Yeah, it was late 90s.
Hold on. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg were getting together for a while, I think.
I don't know why, but like Tom Hanks in Jurassic Park is just like hilarious to me.
You know, it's funny because I was thinking the same thing.
Saving Private Ryan, by the way, was 98.
That's what, 20 years?
Yeah.
22
years.
But like Sam, like he's not even Sam Neill, he's Jeff Goldblum. Doing Hammy Tom Hanks is like life finds a way.
Yeah, see, actually, I'm looking at this list and it's not Steven Spielberg, Tom Hanks, Saving Private Ryan, Catch Me If You Can. Can I
do it?
Yeah, can go ahead. Hold on, I gotta see if I can pull them all up. But hold on. Yeah. All right, go ahead.
Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah.
Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah.
The Terminal. Bridge of Spies. And I think that's it. I'm not counting, like, you know, Band of Brothers.
The Post.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Post. Yeah. Everybody forgets about it.
Actually, I think The Post came to Is it coming to HBO? No, coming to a TV at this point. I just saw a commercial for it. I'm sorry.
Must be.
All right, you guys ready for your reviews of of Extraction? Yep. John, let's start with you.
I got a pass. I didn't watch enough of it.
Just give it a review. Just this will be your second movie of the year. Why not give it a review?
Who was the first one, by the way? Because I don't think I watched that one either.
The Gentleman.
Oh, shit. Okay, no, I did. All right, I would give it probably like a 5.5.
All right. Chris, what would you give this?
It's 65. 6.5.
And
it's been so long, guys.
No, I just get rid of the points.
I'm going with an 5.8.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. So solid round of 6 for us.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean,
6 though is like a Netflix 9.
I agree. Like, I mean, I was entertained the whole time, but like at the end of the film, it was just like a very generic film. And for a two-hour film, they
should we
no character
create a separate Netflix film rating?
No,
system?
No.
Like
no,
we
no.
have for the movies we rate on Netflix. Should it be a should this movie have not been made, or should this movie have been made by Netflix?
I mean,
up thumbs or down thumbs?
I'm fine with this being made.
I hate how they got rid of those stars, man.
Oh yeah.
It's
now
such
it's the
a cheat
recommendation.
What they do.
Yeah.
It's such a cheat.
All right. So Extraction's done. So that means now that Chris is in a bad place talking about Netflix, Chris's complaint corner can commence.
Okay. 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 So four weeks ago, we gave recommendations for binging because mm-hmm. we're stuck at home doing nothing. Mm-hmm. I recommended watching Game of Thrones, and I made that mistake and started the series. I want to say it was only a few days ago. And it only was a few days ago. And I'm on episode... What is it? Season 6, episode 9 right now?
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know, right?
Nice!
Anyway, I got a piece of pen, a piece of paper and a pen. And God, did those guys really screw up the ending. I just, because the most, I made a list of the most satisfying deaths and the least satisfying deaths. And the most satisfying deaths are all, like, in the first 4 seasons, there's no unsatisfying deaths. The first one, and I was generous, very generous with these. The first one I could come up with was season 2, Corrin Halfhand, was the most dissatisfying death. Why? Because Jon Snow killed him, and he should have died by like a bunch of wildlings. But even then, that's just up for debate. That's simply up for debate.
Though.
Yeah, it's because it's important. So yeah. You go further down, season 3, the Red Wedding, dissatisfying. But it's only a debate because you want Robb Stark and his family to fight the Lannisters, and eventually they kill each other. But aside from that, the next one is Jeffrey Baratheon, 4th season, because you want somebody else to have the justice for that. And then after that, it's just downhill. Very unsatisfying deaths. And they set up these things. In the first 3 seasons, it's all about the torture of Sansa Stark from Jeffrey. And he just dies just by poison. By a character that it just gets simply introduced that season. And it's shocking how different, how much they set this up to be let down so hard. Am I wrong?
Joffrey's dead? I don't know. I was kind of okay with...
Are you sure? Because they set it up, like, they tortured he tortured Sansa Stark.
Yeah, but
tortured
like,
her.
The whole deal with this show is kind of like subverting the expectation.
Right.
I guess.
Like, it kind of makes sense with the whole theme of the show. It's not going to be Sansa or anyone you would really think about. It's not going to be that satisfying person. It's going to be this random character who, when you think about it, has every reason to kill him.
Okay. Going forward, then why were there so many on the unsatisfying lists? Given all of that,
how would you
they were setting.
Yeah, define the difference between satisfying and unsatisfying.
What I put down is list characters that were set up throughout the season to either get killed a certain way or go out a certain way. For example, and this is the most obvious, is the Jaime and Cersei deaths. They died together by just simply crumbling rocks. When every single person had a reason for them to be dead, and they were not killed that way. I find it that, you know, Cersei and Jaime were set up. They were hated by so many people, and they did not die a way that you would expect somebody to be satisfied with. You know, you didn't see Arya come in and kill Cersei because of what she did. You didn't see, you know, Sansa come in and kill Cersei for what she did, or Joffrey for what she did, or, well, she did to Ramsay. That was actually a satisfying one. But, like Roose Bolton, I forgot how he died, but it wasn't good. He was killed by Ramsay.
Yeah, his son kills him.
He wasn't killed by any Stark or any relevant person that, like, you betrayed the Starks type thing.
I just think it's not that show, man.
Yeah, it's just not that show.
I get it, but it's just, I'm so disappointed because I literally watched the second season of this entire show was Sansa being tortured by Joffrey. Right. That was the whole season. That was the whole point of the second season.
Is she physically tortured by him?
He orders Meryn Trant to beat her and disrobe her in front of the thing, in front of the court, you know?
Like, Doesn't it imply that she gets raped at some point?
Ramsay rape.
The other one. Thank Ramsay's God.
God, that's a disturbing. That's a disturbing scene.
That's a yeah.
There's a few disturbing scenes in that. That is one of them, and then Stannis, which, you know, I just told you guys about burning his daughter.
It's very much like a. It's got like the Tiger King disease, or like when you're in it, you're fucking in it, and then when you like take a step back, you're like, oh, this is kind of gross. So were there any that shocked or that seemed to hit different this time around?
You notice certain things, like the Red Wedding will always hit you regardless of where you watch it.
I didn't care.
Really?
Like, Kat Stark was kind of like a character, but everybody else...
Everybody loved Robb Stark. Everybody did. Everybody who didn't read the books, who watched the show and was into the show, loved that story arc and loved that character. And then that's why you see all these reaction videos. That's why you see... Those are why those exist.
I think people just thought the King of the North scene was, like, fantastic. That's what I don't think they actually liked John. I mean, the Rob.
Can I be honest? Can I tell you guys about something about the Red Wedding? The thing that annoyed me about the Red Wedding wasn't so much that they killed, was the fact that they killed those characters. It was that, like, I felt like you just wasted all my time with those characters.
Exactly. So
we could have spent time with people who would actually survive this thing.
Well, it's like the stuff with Rob and, like, his wife or whatever.
Yeah, it's like okay.
This is a waste. So frankly, it sets up, but, you know.
Yeah. but then again, the entire... What is it? I want to write it down. I think I wrote it down.
Just like everything else we've been talking about. It's
the entire fourth season was just a waste of time. Not waste of time, but an introduction of useless things until Oberyn's death.
What happens in the fourth? Okay, so that...
The trial by combat with Tyrion, and Oberyn gets killed by the Mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another moment where it's like, okay.
Can I throw it to the two of you? What's your favorite episode?
You know, I just watched Hard Home, and that's such a good episode.
But it's only really good at the end, but it's incredible.
No, but it is. But even up until then, it's still not bad at all. Because then you start to see the downfall of Cersei. Because she's in prison at that point, and they show a little bit of her in the episode. And then it's Arya just, you know, training to be a faceless man. But Hardhome is so hard to top. Pardon the pun, but I can't think of really. Battle of the Bastards is really great too.
See, I never really was feeling that one. Mine would be, and it might actually be Hardhome now that you're saying, because that action scene was just so good. But I'm gonna say Mountain and the Viper, because that was just the biggest, like, that scene was awesome, dude.
It was, but it was a 10-minute scene. Not even.
I know, but like, you get like, sure, but like, I would trade that for like half of their seasons, you know?
Yeah, I guess, but okay. So the rest of that episode is Molestown is attacked by wildlings. You know, Theon enters Moll Caitlin to surrender. Nothing. So nothing else really. Yeah, nothing else really happens. Aside from Lysa gets pushed in the hole, Littlefinger.
Littlefinger
pushes Lysa Arryn out the window or the hole.
Well, that's kind of something.
Yeah, but comparatively to every other episode, you know. It's...
See, so I'm sitting here thinking, I don't think I have an episode that stands out to me.
We did. It's just we haven't seen it in a while. We haven't talked about it in a while, so.
What?
It's hard to think of
what
one.
What are you saying? Which one would it be?
No, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I'm saying, like, nothing really stands out to me. I've always...
Blackwater's a good one, too.
Yeah, that was good. But, like, my relationship with this show has always been... I've always felt, like, half in it. Where it's like, yeah, I enjoy it, but I don't know, it just... Something was off for me. Where, like, for some reason, I could never fall completely into the show.
You know what I think probably happened at the end, or towards the end? At least to me. I always liked the scheming aspect. Like, you didn't really know what was happening. And then, like, not the, like, fake-out, like, Red Wedding. Although, I guess that would be part of it. But, like, just overall, like, people betray people for no reason. You know, like, I say no reason, totally unexpected, and, you know, the reasons are explained later. And they're, you know, they're not just, like, shoehorned in. But, yeah, you just kind of lose that at the end. Like, it just gets very, it's one pass.
And also, I feel like, at times, for what it feels like it does have, like, this richer universe to it, so many times it kind of just feels like they're like, yeah, but don't bother with that.
Right.
Where it's like, they'll introduce a concept and then not explore it. Or, like, just, like, the whole thing with, like, the faceless men. Where it's like, oh, what is this organization? You know, what's the god that they serve? And it's so interesting. And then it just never comes up ever again.
Like, yeah, don't worry about it. And
every episode they kind of bring up the White Walkers and the Long Night and all this stuff. And in the end, it's just...
Yeah, that payoff did not happen. Yeah, that should be at the top of the list, by the way.
Oh, no, that was on there, I mean, too.
Actually, so, you know, you wouldn't, but the Night King would be at the top for me.
It's just when you look at it, they set it up so well to have this, like, big backdrop as to why they're doing what they're doing or what actually is going on, but they don't deliver in the end.
I think honestly it's the element of, like, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, because this show lived by subverting your expectations, except forgetting sometimes it's good to live by people's expectations. It just makes them feel more satisfying.
Well, there's no reason to do the other thing just for the sake of doing it.
Yeah. It's like, when it works, it's great, but sometimes being, you know, generic does pay off.
Yeah, when I finish this, I want to...
Maybe generic's not the right word.
Maybe in a couple weeks when I finish, I'll come up with a list of things that I want to change, that, in hindsight, should have been changed to make it a better story. Maybe in a couple of weeks I'll do something like that. I know we already tried doing that, but that was right as soon as it happened, right after it happened. So I don't know. I feel like there's just certain things you can tweak that I don't know. I don't know. They really screwed it up.
Yeah, it's disappointing.
It really is.
All right. Well, you know, these last two segments here don't have Sean, so we can't take all day doing them. So you should probably move on, or else he'll just like stop recording. And
Sean was a drifter.
Well, yeah,
Sean was a drifter.
I saw it a long time ago.
Sean was an actual drifter in his 1999 Mercury Sable.
You mean my 1987 Mercury Sable?
Was it 87?
It was an 87.
Oh, yeah, it's
that was an 87 Mercury Sable, my first car.
What year was my Mercury Sable?
That I don't know. Come on, it was your car. You should remember.
Sean had the station wagon. I had the sedan.
Yeah, so I had the shaggin' wagon.
You don't remember the year of your first car?
It was, Jesus.
Second car was a 91 Ford Explorer.
No, 1990. It was a 1990 Mercury Sable.
Oh, okay.
Was it? No, it was 95 Mercury Sable. It was a 1995 Mercury Sable. Yeah, because... Yeah, it was a 95 Mercury Sable.
Yeah, how long did the... Oh, sorry.
The red one was Sean's. So that was...
Yeah.
All right. How long did the... when did you guys get rid of the Explorer? That was a great, like, that was just, like, a cool-looking car.
Oh, I know.
Like, if you had that now, dude, oh, my God.
I can't, like, I think I was dating Amy when we got rid of that. So I want to say that was probably...
Like, 05, maybe?
07, maybe?
Was it, like, 07 or 08?
Yeah. That thing lasted almost 20 years.
Yeah, you were almost done with college when that thing kicked in.
Yep,
and that you did not go easy on that transmission either. On that,
the transmission was gone. I couldn't. There was nothing I could do.
Sean, let me drive it in the summertime.
Potato.
Did you lose a gear in that, Sean?
I might have. I don't know. Like that.
Like,
the transmission
from,
was
like,
bad.
Second to fourth or something. Like
Oh no, I never had to worry about that. Like it never got to that point for me. But like. Yeah, that.
Oh, no, but the clutch went.
Yeah, the clutch went. That's right.
Where, like, you had to time it.
Yeah, yep. Like, that.
I just remember it just sounding awful whenever you had to change.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so. Well,
so we should probably get to the drift.
Yeah. Drifting it up. Sam, you can take over.
Who even introduces these? I forget.
It's Sam.
Okay. So. We're now on the third installment of the Fast and the Furious series, where it seems like Universal was kind of... Does anyone else get the vibe with this, where this kind of felt like Universal was just sending the series out to pasture?
Hell no.
It seems a lot like a script that had nothing to do with the series, that they just...
Yeah. You know what?
They're like, they were already done with this, and then the script came along, and they're like, it's got some name recognition if we throw the Fast and Furious thing on it. So,
It seemed like, and this is probably exactly what it was. They filmed the first one. Vin Diesel's like, it was one and done. And then they filmed the second one, and they're like, oh, we got Paul Walker. You know, let's introduce a couple more, see what happens. And then they're kind of like, we'll see, you know, whatever. And then they're like, all right, well, let's introduce a couple more. And then I think this is what you get. With a person who probably didn't have a story written for this. And they're just like, hey, you want to do another movie? And then he goes, yes.
Question.
And then,
who are you talking about, the main guy?
No, the director.
Oh, Justin.
Justin Lin. Yeah.
This is the first one he directed.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Well. Question: where does this fall in the timeline, though? I know this one gets a little fuzzy, like where this lands.
Yeah, chronologically, this is the.
So this one falls.
So one and two are one and two, right?
Yeah. This one falls. After, see, it's hard because you haven't seen all of them, so it's
well, yeah, it's but hard you don't to have do. To give specifics, just say
like, so. This one is one, it goes 1, 2, 3, and this is it 1, 2, 3. This is how it happens, and then 4 is before this, as is 5 and 6. are before this one. And I'm going solely off of memory here. And then it goes... All right,
the correct order for the Fast and Furious base on the internet, because everything's true on the internet, is 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, then Tokyo Drift, 7, 8.
So what I like about
you're right. You're right. That makes sense.
So this is technically the sixth movie.
So four and five are before this one. Yes. Then. Okay.
What's great about this is just how it has nothing at all to do with the other two. Like
until the very, very, very end.
Right, but I mean, it's not even like we're gonna pave over the two we first did and do essentially the same setup. Right. Like, there's no cop element. There's no crime element, really. I guess at the end, but it's like, it's really just like, oh, this guy's a dick. Like, it doesn't even matter that he's a, I don't know what, drug dealer, mafia, like, whatever.
Mafia.
It's the Yakuza.
Yakuza. Got it. Yakuza just sounds much cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so, yeah, this is a movie. Incredible opening, by the way, with the kid from Home Improvement as the bad
Lucas
guy.
Black.
No. What the fuck's his name? The brother from Home Improvement.
Oh, the Ferrari driver?
Yeah, the other one. Which, like, an underexplained portion of this is, like, how are all these kids who are in high school having, like, $40,000 cars?
Because they're rich. Duh. Because
it's daddy's car.
He doesn't actually care about cars, unlike our main character.
Right.
He doesn't read the brochure. I'm sorry, some of the lines in this movie are classic. But
classic in that they've appeared in other movies.
No, or how about rememberable?
Like what?
Like, I forget exactly how it goes, but Han says it to the kid. He's like, I'll spend the money on a destroyed car just to see who somebody is. You know, because the kid who wrecked his car, he's like, take my car and drift, and then he wrecks it. And then he goes, why did you let me drive your car? And he's like, I'll gladly sacrifice a car to see what somebody's worth, you know?
Which I don't really understand the logic with that, but, you know, I don't know how you learn something about someone's character by the way they drive, but...
No, but I think it was just standing up to somebody, you know? Yada yada yada, things like that. I don't know, dude. It's Han. He's all wise, you know, things like that. Okay, so this movie does have Lucas Black. He's the only one that is a main character who has not returned in any of the movies so far.
Today.
So far, yep. I want to see him again. Not gonna lie, I love it, but I cannot wait to see this kid in another movie.
Yeah, you think it'll happen?
Oh yeah, yeah. They've probably asked him a million times, and I don't think
he was in
really
Fast 7, by the
What's
way.
What's up? Was he?
He was in Fast 7.
Yes, he was.
As what?
As Sean Boswell, his character.
Oh, but is that the flash? Isn't there a flashback scene in 7 to this movie or something?
Yeah, there was a flashback.
All right.
Oh,
well, better news.
No, you're right. In the seventh movie,
John, don't.
Yeah.
Don't.
He's in Fast 9.
Don't.
Of course, yeah. Fucking spoil it, Sean.
Who cares?
Of course. Well, that said, I'm looking at his camera. I'm looking at his IMDb.
Yeah,
right now.
It's the top one. It's the most.
He was
recent.
In Fast 7, but it was a flashback.
Oh, was it flashback?
So it wasn't. Yeah, it wasn't really.
Like, Chris, you really wanted him to come back?
I for some reason I just love the redneck, the southern just.
Look, I thought his accent was really annoying. Like it was.
Oh yeah, it was like
southern.
It was like a British dude trying to be from Louisiana, bonk on like all the people from Youngblood, True Blood, whatever it's called.
But by the way, he is from Alabama.
I know. He was a foreigner though. Like I thought I would have bet money that he was like a British guy trying to do an accent.
No, he's 100% from Speak Alabama.
Yep, Speak Alabama.
It just, I don't know, it just did not feel like a real accent.
No. Anyway, this.
What I love about these movies is they're just fucking turned up to 11. It's like you get to Tokyo. I mean, really, okay. I guess it really starts of like just the massive like high school like rally that it's like, why even, like, it has nothing to do with the rest of the movie. Yeah. And it's like, this must have cost like a lot of money to do. There's like a lot of people here. There's a lot of production value. Like somebody thought this was legit necessary to establish a movie where they race cars.
It was solely made for the Asian audience, this movie.
You think so?
I mean, solely. And I think they specifically knew it. It's just like, we can't wait to release this in China. Oh, wait, America? Yeah, that's right. Here you go.
I don't know. There's just this... What I found about weird about this movie was that when we get to Japan, we seem to solely hang out with people from other countries. Like, almost none of the characters in this story are actually from Japan.
Wait, are even...
But we don't technically know where Han's from. But...
Yeah, where's Han from?
But he's not from Japan. They like imply that he's like, he calls it his Mexico or something. Like he's.
Oh, you're right. He's on the run. I thought. Yeah. Literally, I thought they were talking about the rooftop when that scene happens. Like, I didn't realize he was talking about the country of Japan.
Wasn't Bow Wow in this movie?
Really yeah, Bow Wow's best friend. That's his name. He's the guy selling all the stuff to people.
I love how that Wikipedia page is just Bow Wow.
Bow Wow has like all the good lines. Like, there's one point where he's talking about like the Drift King, and he's like, "This is his mountain."
It's DK.
Yeah, DK.
I'm sorry. Also, like when they were doing that. Oh my god! When they were doing that last race down the mountain, they were using like flip phone video to do it live. I'm sorry, but if you've ever had one of those phones in the internet back then, there's no way you could have live streamed that race.
By the way, this film was supposedly takes place in 2013.
And had been able to, but even then, the phone technology was never that.
Does that actually fit with the timing of the other movies?
Probably not.
Hold on. No, he might be right though. 2013.
Is that a retcon? Because I don't remember them mentioning the year.
I don't know. I'm like literally scrolling through the IMDb trivia, and
that has to be a retcon, or just in the story description that nobody reads.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, they would have done some other stupid shit, though, if it was, like, 10 years in the future or whatever.
They retconned a ton of shit in the... Like, Han's still alive in this upcoming movie. I mean, he died in this one. And then he died in another one by Jason Statham. I mean, and now he's back? What?
Well, that's supposed to be this movie, right?
And then Letty? Like, retcon. There you go. Yeah. But you haven't gotten to that point yet, so... Sorry, spoiler alert, Sam.
I was so excited though when Vince came on the screen, like
yeah, at the very end where it's like clearly somebody paid him to show up.
Oh, I said Vince. Jesus, Vince.
Yeah, Vin Diesel.
Vince Diesel.
Jesus.
Yeah, how much money do you think he made for like being in this movie for like 2 minutes?
From what I've read, he got a Riddick movie. Out
yeah.
Of it.
Basically, yeah, that's what this movie gave us, was Vin Diesel got the rights to Riddick. No, not Chronicles. It gave us Riddick.
Which is the third
movie.
Oh, yes. Release-wise, the third.
And soon to be Furia, which is supposedly the last film in the series.
I cannot wait for that movie.
I can't either. Like, I'm so excited for Furia.
It's just, and you know what? I know it's not going to be great, but it's just... a pet project.
Yes.
And when I like a movie and it's a pet project of somebody's, I don't care what it's going to be like. I'm still going to watch it because I'm going to love it. I love the content.
I love the idea behind it. I love the fact that the main character loves the character so much that, I mean, Vin Diesel has been in 3 movies and what, 2 video games as the character. And did this movie just to gain the rights to it so he can do whatever he wants with this character. Like, the fact that he loves this character that much, like, no, makes me
love it.
No,
he put his house up for collateral for Riddick. For the budget.
Yeah, for the third movie. Like,
has that been, like, I mean, did he get, like, ruined from those? Or, like,
no, they made money.
They've made money, because at least the third one was very low budget. Yeah. But it was a very simplistic plot. Whereas the Chronicles of Riddick, that was, I doubt that one made money.
I don't think Chronicles made
any money. Pitch Black, that definitely made money.
Riddick, the budget was $38 million. It made almost $100 million.
Yeah.
I just love how jacked up this movie is, though. It's like every single, like, Japanese girl, like, has to just be, like, incredibly attractive and, like, very, like, scantily clad. Like, there's no, like, it's a, like, there isn't a single one on the island that doesn't, you know.
Yeah. Dude, it's, I mean.
Also, like, when they just drift around those girls. Like, it's, like, dirty dancing or something.
Like, they drift around the girls, but it's in the middle of an intersection in Tokyo, and, like, nobody else is around, and it's just like, all right, I guess we're gonna do this.
Tokyo noted, like, small and, like, not dense, like, densely populated city.
And then we get the scene where they drift through the crowd of people.
Yeah. You gotta think people die, like, all the time watching the drifts in the parking garage, right? Like, no way. I mean,
yeah.
It just has to happen. These are just, like, smile on your face movies. You know?
It's like, to be honest, so far, this one may be my favorite.
Just
because this is the dumbest so far.
It feels like
the first two were trying to be, like, something serious, and this one they were just like, whatever. Cars are drifting.
It's going for it.
Enjoy it now, because I think from here on, you're going to get more serious. It's not going to get any more far-fetched. I mean, aside from, you know, pushing missiles from submarines over ice and
a torpedo,
you know, the Rock basically taking a minigun off a helicopter and using it. It gets far-fetched. Some of this shit gets really crazy, but it's nothing. It's not going to get as, campy is the wrong word, but just flat out comedic as this one is. Because now they start to move to more of, let's kind of build a story here instead of, let's just have girls in scantily clad outfits. And,
movies are supposed to have stories?
Yeah, right. So I think that the fourth one's going to this is where they make the turn.
Yeah, from what I've heard, this is where the turn happens.
Sam, when you find the next one to watch, let me know, because this is where I'm picking it up.
All right. Well,
picking it up at four.
You've seen the first three.
I've seen bits and pieces of the first three in the past, and I've never had any interest to go back and rewatch them. Four through whatever we're at now, I have four through nine. Is the new one.
The next one is Fast and Furious.
Yes.
Because we have to be super confusing on how we number this series.
Yes. So
yeah, this would be Fast and Furious.
So, Sam, when you find out how you're going to watch it, let me know.
Hold on. I'm looking it up right now for you.
Oh.
See, I mean, you don't want to rent it, obviously. No. So, actually, I do think this is one of the ones where it's not. I think this one and Fast Five are the ones that are not available streaming.
Damn.
Just gonna have to bite the bullet, man.
Yeah, or you could be like John and buy the whole set.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Oh, boy.
This one and the fifth one are not on. Well, actually, Fast Five is on HBO. But
I have HBO.
The fourth one, you're gonna have to bite the bullet.
Damn.
Yeah, fourth one, you got that right. Bite the bullet. Or you can do like a Zoom or something with John, and he can watch the DVD at the same time as you. I mean, I'm not wrong.
All right. So, any final thoughts on Fast and Furious Tokyo Drift?
Yeah, how does he leave the fucking country?
Yeah, that's
like his dad's like, oh, it's this or jail. And it's like, oh, they just let those people fucking go to Japan?
Apparently, you know, it's the 1920s.
Wait, what do you mean? He's a juvenile, right?
He's 17 in this movie, supposedly.
Well, no, but don't they say... But no, like, his dad literally says... I think he gets... This is after maybe the first race in Japan or whatever. Or he gets into trouble. It could be after the when the guy dies, actually. But his dad's like, listen, if it's this or jail, or go back to jail. Like, make it, and it's like, what?
Well, it's probably like, juvenile. You don't
let those people, like, out of the country.
And,
I don't know.
And not only that, like, Tokyo has extradition laws. It's not like you can hide out in Tokyo.
Right. It's not, it's definitely not your Mexico if it's, you know.
You know what, they probably just, it's probably one of those things, like, you can live with your father. Clearly your mom's not working out. You know, live with him. If you can get your act together, you're not going to juvenile detention.
Yeah. It feels like, to me, a lazy writer who was just like trying to come up with a reason to send him to Japan. It was like, Sam, that's a thing, right?
Sam. Shell, I'm not even going to begin to tell you what you should prepare for regarding lazy writing. Only because you know what you're getting into.
Oh yeah.
So you think this is lazy writing. Just wait. There's a couple little parts in there.
I'm waiting for the lazy writing to really kick in.
Yeah. Eventually the lazy writing just gets just completely just forgotten when somebody pushes a missile across an ice field. Or a frozen
torpedo,
lake.
Right?
It's a torpedo.
Is it torpedo. I don't know, something that explodes.
Yeah.
And then some weird choreographed kill 'em up on an airplane with a baby and a stroller, and it's just.
Are we watching the next one next week?
I like doing every other week.
Okay.
Every other week.
Yeah. We got plenty of time.
So much time.
I think we're doing a classic next week, right?
Yeah.
Are we?
Yeah, we'll do Aliens.
Aliens. We're gonna have a big discussion. Michael Biehn versus what the hell was it?
Carl Urban.
Carl Urban.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a good discussion. I think that's a good debate. I think it is. You laugh, but in reality, it's close.
Okay.
Well, see, I keep forgetting he's in Terminator because otherwise, I don't think it's even close. But Aliens available on HBO.
Yep.
I believe the entire saga is.
Or if you own the quadrilogy like I do, it's just a DVD.
So like it's easier to sit math in a chair and push a few buttons on a clicker.
That's true. I mean, my TV's not even hooked up right now, so it might have to be HBO. It all depends on when the furniture comes in. Gotta love quarantine. All right.
Is that a set or separate purchases?
Technically separate purchases. We'll explain after podcast. But any final thoughts on anything we've talked about tonight?
Well, I
just watched the first 7 seasons of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, we know.
Need to watch the 8th.
You got the 8th season to look forward to. All right. Well, if there's nothing left, you can find all of our podcasts on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes. You can follow us at facebook.com/KnightsOfNerditude. Leave us a review and let us know if there's any movies you want us to review. That does it for us. Until next time.
Keep on drifting.
And drift away. Why wasn't that in that movie, though?